Mandy,
Hello, Katie.
look, I know that there were people that were worried about you, but you survived the storm because you were not in the path of the storm.
That's, I have tried to explain to my mother
Yeah.
where I live. Just given up. Even when I put a post on Facebook that says, "Hey, I'm fine. We may get rain, but that's the extent of it. Doesn't matter." My mom's still, "How's Freddie reacting?" Freddie's reacting like it's any normal day because it is
Have you
the
found
day.
Jim Cantore? He's on the other coast.
He is over there hanging out with Birch, where
Let
it
me
is
tell you.
still raining.
Yeah. Well, he is living his best life. There's a group in Charleston that's on like Instagram or TikTok or something of these Charleston women that are having like the biggest wine party ever. And there's a wine-o-meter, and Jim Cantore and the whole crew are right there with him. Like when he comes off the live feeds, he goes in their house, the whole crew goes in their house and they're having a big wine party.
Good for them.
I know. If
I
you're
mean,
gonna
what
have
else do
a
you do?
hurricane party, might as well have it in Charleston.
Yeah, for sure. For
Well, I'm
sure.
glad you're okay.
I am okay, although I've cried
Oh,
again
buckets.
this week.
Buckets.
Before we get to the Olympics, we have to talk about our old pal Freddie Freeman.
Oh, I
Of
cried
course,
buckets over that one.
I follow Freddie's wife, Chelsea, and Freddie, of course, on Instagram. So, like, I already knew that the boys were all sort of sick during the All-Star break. And then they got home, and she's like, "Thank God we're home. Nobody's feeling great." And so, because of that, the doctors initially thought that their son Max had this like random rare sort of reaction to virus that's rare, but also common, especially in little boys.
Right.
And it affects your hip socket and you can't walk. So that's initially what they thought. And then apparently he just kept getting worse and worse and worse. And Chelsea quit posting on Instagram. But then there were reports that Freddie was in Houston and left, before the game started to fly home. And
That's when I saw it.
turns out it was really scary for them. Max has Guillain-Barré syndrome, however you really say it. My French is
Our French is terrible even
don't
after we
let
went to the
Madame Bynum.
Olympics.
But anyway, so because they were treating him for the wrong thing for so long, I mean, it eventually got to the point where he's paralyzed. He will
It's
recover,
crazy.
but he is currently like can't stand up, can't walk. He had a feeding tube. He was on a
Still.
ventilator. And so Freddie was out for I think 8 games,
Yeah, it was a while.
and so he came back. I think it was on Monday, and everybody had Max Strong T-shirts on, and we all know Freddie. We all remember when Freddie came back to Atlanta for the first time.
Yep.
Freddie's tender. Freddie's real tender, and his first he had a press conference, cried during the press conference before the game, and then during his first at bat he didn't cry quite like he did in Atlanta, but he did cry. And it was real sweet that the Dodgers fans treated him appropriately, how I would want them to treat him. And even old Nick Castellanos, they were playing the crazy haired villains, also known as Phillies.
They were.
And old Nick Castellanos out in the outfield, whose son was, you may remember last year during the World Series, one of the Phillies players' sons, who's probably about 8 or 9, would sit sort of right behind home plate and get all excited. That was his son Liam, is who that is. So Nick took his hat off and held it over his heart. And then they were talking about the fact that Freddie said he had heard from, everybody in the Dodgers
Yep.
organization, everybody in the Braves organization, of course, had contacted him, that Bryce Harper would text him like every other day. Mike Trout wanted to bring him donuts to the hospital. I mean, it was just really sweet
So sweet.
hearing all the stories. So, anywho, here's and then Chelsea posted a sweet little video of when they got home, and Max is lying there on the sofa, and he can't move.
Yeah.
But his brothers, he has a quote unquote twin. They're not actually twins, but they were born a few months apart because they had started the surrogacy process when Chelsea got pregnant. And so the boys are just a couple months apart. So Max and Brandon is the twin. And Brandon comes up and puts his head, lays his head down on him. And then Charlie just comes and kind of snuggles up with him. I mean, it's just so sweet. So sweet.
I cried buckets just watching a clip from it.
Yeah.
And then had to go find the whole thing and cried more. I mean, it's just, I'm glad he's going to be okay. That's the best news of the day. And that makes me cry even more.
Yeah. And, nobody, everybody in baseball loves Freddie Freeman. Everybody. He's the mayor of baseball on first base for the Dodgers. And he's in fact, there was recently a clip. I can't remember who the player was, but it was a younger player who got a hit in his first at bat after his dad had died. And it was, they were playing the Dodgers. And when he got to first base, Freddie just puts his arm around him. The guy's crying and Freddie just puts his arm around him, puts his head on his shoulder, pats his head. I mean,
yeah.
Freddie is just the best. So anyway, that had already been making me cry. And then the Olympics, of course, Katie.
Oh my God. I cry at least three times a day.
It's my friend Kelly pointed out, I relate more to the parents at this point than I do the Olympians. It is almost always the parents that are making me cry. It just, oh.
Yeah.
The parents and Elmo.
And Elmo.
Have we seen the videos of Elmo and Cookie Monster?
Katie Ledecky.
To the Olympians.
The Katie Ledecky one is my favorite.
Oh, have you seen the one? I think it just came out. Simone with Elmo.
No, I haven't seen that one. Okay.
Yeah, that one's pretty cool. I mean, whoever had that idea?
I mean, between... So we talked about this last Olympics, just you and me, obviously, how, I remember when we were watching from home and Peacock, their servers crashed and the coverage was just terrible. And sometimes there was sound and sometimes there wasn't. When I tell you that, I don't know if they were really listening to us, but NBC has taken our advice. And this has been one of the best produced Olympics that I can remember. Things like the Muppets. Who thought, like you said, who thought to do that? The Muppets.
Yeah, I just fell down. Did you see that?
Yeah. Let me tell you. It's on my list to talk about.
It's the steeplechase, which is the weirdest damn event ever. But dude, that guy feel like he passed out. Was he just lying flat and still so everybody could get by him?
Yeah. Snoop Dogg.
I'd be like getting up and making everybody fall down.
I know, right? Snoop Dogg in the Olympics has been one of the best things that we've ever seen. The Today Show coverage has been great. Ina Garten, they brought Ina Garten over. I mean, Mandy, look, I think we're influencers before we were influencers. I think they heard us complaining from Tokyo.
Sure.
And they have done a much better job.
I will say my only complaint is sometimes the sound, like the music.
Right.
With the floor routines, for instance, I couldn't hear it real well. And today I was watching what used to be called synchronized swimming, which is now called artistic swimming.
Correct.
And same thing, I couldn't necessarily hear all the music. We're going to circle back to the artistic swimming in just a moment.
Yes, we are. And to the steeplechase, by the way. I've got an idea for the steeplechase to make it harder.
Also, I'm here for all the medal ceremonies.
Oh.
But I'm going to need the cameraman to back up. I have seen enough nose hairs.
Yes.
Listen, nobody... I know these are young people, young, healthy people. It doesn't matter. I still don't want to see their pores.
No.
Just take a step back. And also, I would like to see everybody standing on the podium.
Yeah.
Not just the person that won gold. I would like to see them all.
Thank you. I hope NBC is listening.
I need more medal ceremonies. I would like to see every single medal ceremony.
Yes.
That happens.
Yes.
From a far away, further away distance. Did you see today that the Winter Olympics, the team skating, remember the last Winter Olympics, there was that little 12-year-old, she went 12, she was 15 or 16, or so, she was young, Russian ice skater.
Skater.
Who, there was all the controversy about whether she had been doping or not. Remember
yes,
this?
Yes, I remember
her. I did not realize that as a result of the investigation from that, they never awarded the medals for the team competition because they didn't know who won because of this investigation of this girl. Well, so apparently in January of this year, 2 years later, they have finally said that whatever happened, that her, she was doping, she's out. So we won the gold medal, and girl, they had the medal ceremony with our skating team. I think it was China. It was China's team.
Maybe.
We got the silver in front of the Eiffel Tower today.
Stop it. I'm going to find that. I'm going to have to find it.
They sure did. I was like, because I had it muted. I was working. I had it muted. And I looked up. I was like, what is this medal ceremony with all these? What event?
What is this?
All these people of mixed gender. Like, what is happening?
I love it.
No wonder I was confused. It was an ice skating medal ceremony.
Well, I can't wait to find that. My contribution to, and we've talked about this offline, my contribution to the please do this next time at the medals is I think those maps are dumb and stupid. Like, nobody wants a cardboard box. Where are the flowers? I want the flowers.
I really expect that they gave flowers to the ice skaters today. That was the other thing. I was like, wait, what is happening? Why are these people getting flowers? What is this event? It was crazy.
I want flowers back. Yeah. You know, Simone Biles at this point has four maps. What's she going to do with four maps? What's she going to do with that? Katie Ledecky has a whole stack of them. What's she going to do? Give me the flowers. So if they're listening.
I would have expected more from France.
I know, right? I love the Louis Vuitton boxes that they carry the medals out on. And it's like they ran out of ideas.
I'll take four of those.
Right? Yeah.
My other segment today is, how do they do that?
Okay.
We're going to start with the event called speed climbing.
It's a wonder.
Which is a, you know, rock wall that these people scale. When I was looking yesterday, the time for the women was a world record, was 6.06 seconds. I can't open my eyes.
That's about the
6.06 seconds. And they are climbing to the top of a wall.
Yeah. There are very few things in this world I can do in 6 seconds.
I can't stand up out of my bed.
Oh, no.
And the
not
men
in 20
like,
years.
The men did it like 4.75.
It's like they're on a wire in a movie and they're just yanking them up. If you've ever seen
it,
it's like a stuntman, but they're not. It's real.
God, it's wild. They're Spider-Man.
That's wild.
That was my first.
Because you blink, you miss it.
What I love about the Olympics is, you know, getting up in the morning, have it turning it on immediately.
Yep.
Sitting there drinking my cup of coffee and watching the most random shit you've ever seen.
I know, right?
And people being excellent at it. Whatever it is I'm watching, they're really good at it.
Yeah.
I may not understand it, but I can recognize the excellence.
Amen.
Water polo. They are having the same sort of celebrations that they're having on the soccer field, but those people are treading water. They are treading water, and their friends come over and jump on them, and they keep their heads above water while holding up another 200-pound person while treading water. How do they do that?
When I float in the water and nobody's jumping on me, I need a pool noodle or a life jacket to float on.
Truly, y'all, the next time you're in the pool, I'm going to need you to go out to the deep end and try to tread water for 15 seconds. And then come talk to me about what else you can do while you are treading water, because I'm going to wager a guess that it's not a lot.
Not celebrate.
I don't think you could accurately toss a ball.
Oh.
All the way across a 100-yard pool.
Hold a ball. Yeah, I mean, I... No.
Which leads me into my next thing. Synchronized swimming. Artistic swimming.
Look.
I'm sitting real close to my TV right now. The water polo boys are walking to jump in their pool. I was like, whoa.
Hello. I love the Speedo.
Hello, Fanny.
Hello. So have you seen the okay, we're recording on Wednesday. It comes on Friday. Have you seen the update?
I watched it live.
Listen, okay, so we won the silver.
It's like my first Olympics that I really remember are the LA Olympics in 1984. So it's Rowdy Gaines and Mary T. Maher and Mary Lou Retton and synchronized swimming. I don't know why. I guess because we were in the pool all the time.
Yeah.
That sort of the synchronized swimming was sort of the easiest one for us to try.
Yeah.
And, you know, back then I was the Tri-State High Point champion swimmer. And I couldn't do synchronized swimming then. Artistic swimming.
It's hard to change.
It is cheerleading.
Yeah.
In the water. Cheerleading in. They are doing the same sort of stunts. They are doing the same sort of choreography.
Yes.
While they are treading water or while they are holding their breath for 2 minutes.
Yeah. Which, okay, try that without doing anything else.
Anything.
Try holding your breath for
just
a minute.
Sink
for
down
half
and
that
try
time.
To hold your breath for 30 seconds
There's
if
no
you're
way.
Asthmatic like me.
There's no way. Less.
And then, alternatively, try to remember some choreography.
And throw people in the air.
Just try to remember choreography on the land where you can breathe. I can't do that anymore.
No.
They're remembering 3 routines worth of choreography, performing it while either treading water or upside down, treading water with their arms while holding their breath, while throwing their teammate into the air, who is then doing flips. How do they do that?
So I like the, on our show notes, Mandy has put, I need a Netflix reality show about that. So I think I have thought long
and
hard
about this.
All I could
think about was the Dallas Cowboy cheerleaders. So and I'm like, they're doing all that in the water.
In the water. I think we should call it Bubbles.
Okay.
We could sell that to Netflix.
And the degree of, like, you know how if you've watched the Dallas Cowboy cheerleaders documentary, if you haven't, you should. How tough those coaches are and how particular they are.
Yeah.
You know it's the same way. If
same
you're
way.
Making it to the Olympics and winning a silver medal.
And it's like the first medal in what, 40 years or something crazy
long,
like that?
Long, long, long time.
Long time.
Long time.
So, I mean, I'm so proud of our girls, but whoo, it's
just
exhausting.
I just can't fathom it. Carson Tyler has made it to the finals in the diving.
Yes.
We are recording today, y'all. It has been the cutest, sweetest thing to watch Moultrie, Georgia. I shared on Instagram, they have painted all the windows in downtown Moultrie.
That's so cute.
People have been getting up to watch him dive at 4 a.m. And I mean everybody. Everybody on my Facebook timeline has been getting up to watch this child dive at 4 a.m. They are having several watch parties tomorrow. The official one is at the Welcome Center, and NBC will be there filming.
Stop it.
They're also
so
having
excited.
One at the YMCA.
Come on.
Like, it's just, and the best part, they've already planned the Welcome Home Parade for the child.
Because they don't care
doesn't
how
matter.
It turns out.
Doesn't matter what he does. Doesn't
My
matter
favorite thing.
Doesn't matter. He made it, and that is amazing. And so he is getting a parade and the key to the city.
I feel like that's kind of been the other thing that I've really liked about this Olympics. And, you know, there have been some disappointments sometimes when we really should have won a medal when we didn't. And I've been like, we really should have, like, did we really need to lose that race or whatever. But for the most part, I have been so excited of the new shift in the culture of watching these sports, where things just like that, where it's, we don't care what he does, we're just proud he's there. Or you want a bronze? Like, that's the best thing I've ever heard. Like, it doesn't always have to be gold. We don't have to be perfect. Now, do we hate to lose a streak? Of course we do. But I feel like before it was always, you know, what you would hear is the whole, if we don't win gold, there's nothing, like, we're terrible. Like, we don't want anything else. But this time it's like, oh my gosh, I watched you persevere and fall and get back up, and we think you're the best thing since sliced bread. So I really like that. And I love that they've already planned the daggum parade for the kid, and he hadn't even finished.
Oh, yeah. Listen, they had it planned before he left to go to Paris.
Which is great. That's the best, I think, shift for me for this Olympics, is the attitude about what it looks like to win.
I was listening to a podcast this morning about Simone, the ESPN Daily podcast.
Yeah.
I highly recommend. And the reporter who has been over there for ESPN apparently has done some sort of long form something. I don't know if it's an article or what. There was a link in today's show notes, but I did not go look. And she was talking about how, you know, I think everybody who has followed Simone's career is aware of the shift in American culture around gymnastics.
Yeah.
During Simone's career. And she's credited for a lot of that because of how she handled herself in Tokyo. Because she did stop and say, I'm withdrawing. My team has got this. They can do this without me. It is not safe for me to go.
Yeah.
Which was a brave choice. And because of that, and because she's the GOAT, and because she set that example, then obviously now other American gymnasts say, oh, it's okay for me to do that.
Yeah.
If Simone can do that, then I can do that. Well, one of the things I found interesting in this podcast was apparently when Simone's doing press conferences, that reporters from other countries will say, do you know that you've done that in my country too?
That's great.
It's shifting everywhere.
I really do see her as the impetus. I'm glad that you said that because it really does start with her, but it has had this ripple effect. And I hope she feels that.
I think it started with Michael Phelps, because remember they did that documentary on HBO?
Yes.
And I feel like that was even before Tokyo.
Yes.
Like, he was sort of the first one to be like, because remember he would come back and he would get DUIs and he would just make poor
Too
choices.
Too much pressure.
Yeah. And then he came out with it. So,
you know, Simone, this time winning the silver, I think was the first time I was like, oh, no, wait, no. And then I thought, nope, she's there. She did a great job. She stepped out of bounds all the way twice. I mean, it is what it is. And then to see them at the very end do what they did for Rebecca Andrade, I'm sure I'm butchering her last name, who I think is the most precious human being. I just think that continues that whole narrative of, it is, oh, you did your best. And that's a great accomplishment in and of itself. It doesn't matter what colors around your neck.
And that's why we love the Olympics.
Exactly. Exactly.
Well, I'll save my last little one for another time.
I love it. This is what we're here for, is all these great stories that have come out. This is why we love the Olympics, people, is that this is so uplifting in a world that seems to be not. So I've been, you know, the second week we've kind of shifted to track and field. The swimming portion is over. Gymnastics is now over. And let me just tell you, these women in track and field are fierce, not just the runners, but the discus throwers and the hammer throwers. That girl's a beast. I love her. And, you know, we talked about Alona Meyer last week, about how, you know, she does a lot of body positivity stuff. And I think this event, I mean, there was a little girl running today who's maybe my height, obviously, you know, a lot smaller than I am, but like my height. And then there's this beautiful tall pole vaulter along with this, you know, discus thrower and shot putter. These women are all just beautiful. And it's really uplifting, I think, for all of, I mean, I hope it is for you too, Mandy, but for me, it's great to see such a wide variety of healthy, beautiful women being successful. And I think that's a great message for all of our girls.
I was listening to Kelly Stafford's podcast, you know, which I have that weird love-hate relationship with.
Right.
I love Kelly. But she was talking about watching the Olympics with her little girls and how the Olympics is sort of the rare sports example. It's shifting, yeah. But for so long, the Olympics was sort of the rare sports example where the women are equally, if not more, celebrated than the men.
Yep. Absolutely. I mean, think about gymnastics in the summer, but skating in the winter. You know, most of the time, nobody cares what the dudes are doing. It's the women we want to watch because they're so amazing. So I agree. I love that. And I've just really loved watching these tall, like right now, men's beach volleyball is on. But like our beach volleyball and indoor volleyball girls are just, you know, wonderful specimens. But they're gorgeous and smart and all the things. And it just shows that you can be whatever you want. So we just watched the men do it, but the steeplechase still is a baffling event to me. It's on track and field, but they look like horses. Like it's one step away from that hobby horse crap that's on TV.
Well, Elizabeth and I were talking about it last night when it was on, and it's almost like a hurdling event.
Right.
But it looks like these are all of the people who had such poor form, or maybe it wasn't Elizabeth, maybe this was with Birch and Casey. The people who had such poor form in their hurdling.
Okay.
That they were then designated to become steeplechasers who then have to jump in the water and get their feet wet.
In the water. And then with the hurdles, there you step on top of the ones that don't have water, and you have to jump over the one that does have water, which is weird. But I was talking, my friend Becky and I were messaging back and forth during it the other night because we were just all baffled. First of all, they all wear the same weird orange shoes.
That's what I said.
What is that about?
Are they water? I was like, these are my St. Simon's girls. I was like, maybe y'all need to get some shoes because with all this rain you're getting, these are magic shoes.
Yeah, your steeplechase shoes. But okay, so we came up with a way to make it even harder. Not that it's not hard enough, but it looks like a balance beam because it's one long hurdle. It's not individual hurdles that people jump over. So what we decided was we're going to put Suni Lee up on the hurdle, and like each hurdle will get a gymnast, and they have to not only get over the hurdle, but dodge the gymnast.
Okay.
And then when they jump over into the water, we're going to have Michael Phelps and Katie Ledecky trying to grab their ankles and play sharks and minnows on the water one.
Okay.
Because we thought that would make it less horsey.
Well, and it would be more team oriented then.
Yes. Yes.
I like team.
Yes. Yeah, so we thought that'd be fun. It is just the weirdest track event. I mean, hammer throw is weird, but this is just odd.
Truly, really, truly is. And I go, you know, I don't know. Would pole vaulting be weird if it hadn't been a sport since before we were born?
Yes.
Maybe. But the wet feet.
I don't get it. It's the only track event with water. I don't understand it.
It really is strange.
It is odd.
Do you think that the steeplechasers are the lesser in the hierarchy of the track and field athletes? Do we feel like maybe they're excluded a little bit in the track and field cliques?
Maybe. Like, oh, there's the steeplechase table, like in the lunchroom in the seventh grade? Maybe.
Right.
I mean, it's just, it's not an easy, it's 3,000 meters. It's not a short race. It's a long race.
Well, I mean, I couldn't do it.
I couldn't do it. The hurdles are lower, but they're, it's just weird.
It's weird.
So weird. All right. I'm glad I'm not the only one. So I wanted to talk about two things with gymnastics that I have seen. I know we've probably taught gymnastics to death, but I just can't. It was just such a great meet that I wanted to talk about two more things. The first is our friend Simone. She is in a boot. I don't know if you saw the interviews with her after. She is in a boot. She said it's just precautionary, but she's in a boot. She said it was hurt, but it wasn't all that painful. It was just a little, you know, twinge during the stuff. But she's in that so she can fully heal. But the other thing that she's had to answer about 5,000 times, she's gotten the same question, and the reporters got smarter as it went, but like the same question is, now what? And she's like, y'all, it was a day ago. Can I babysit my medal for a minute?
She tweeted out, stop asking that question. It's stupid.
Yeah.
And they still asked it.
In roundabout weird ways. What in all of her answers, the theme that I have heard is LA is a home game. It would be great to do that in my home country. But y'all, she's going to be like 32. And it's Simone. She can do anything she wants. I fully believe that. But she's going to be 32.
I kind of hope for her sake she doesn't want to do it.
I
kind
hope so too.
She goes back to Texas.
Yep.
And she like train some girls up and comes as a coach or something.
I would love for her to be a U.S. gymnastics coach. Please.
I like it when these people can find their next thing and
yes,
move on.
Yeah, I agree.
I was I was also listening to an earlier ESPN Daily podcast. I was talking about Jesse Owens, and the iconic picture of him. A black man standing on the top of the podium in Berlin while everybody's saluting Hitler.
Right.
Or no, it wasn't an ESPN Daily, it was Pablo Torre Finds Out. One of the things, instead of a box with a map in it at that Olympics, they gave away, Hitler gave away oak saplings. And so this whole thing was about what happened with all these oak saplings. Yeah. And it's interesting and you should listen to it. But
oh, yeah, of course.
The thing that broke my heart was hearing about Jesse Owens' life after he got back from the Olympics.
Oh, I'm sure it was miserable.
It was just, it's horrible. It's horrible.
Yeah. Pablo Torre finds out, you know, I do everything Mandy tells me. That's one of the best things she's ever told me to do. It's one of my favorite podcasts. If you are not listening, you need to tune in. It's so good. It's sports from a whole different angle, and I love it. The other thing with gymnastics that I saw that I loved was the story that was in the Washington Post. It came through MSN, this link that I have, but it was also in the Post, I believe, about two women that help the gymnastics team. And their names are Marsha Faustin and Ellen Casey. And if you remember back, there was a big issue with the male doctors that were caring for these young female gymnasts. Larry Nassar, assaulting them. Larry Nassar is now in prison for sexual assault. It was a bad, bad thing that all those men and all those adults in their lives failed to help them and put them in contact with these horrible human beings. Well, let me tell you what, these two ladies have redeemed the world. And of course it's two women. I've not seen a picture of Ellen Casey, and I found this article right before we started recording, so I've not had a chance to look her up. But Dr. Marsha is a female doctor of color. She's beautiful. She is like, I've seen pictures of her sitting on the ground.
No, I meant to share on our Instagram. There was a great like photo collage. She is exactly what this team deserves.
And apparently Ellen Casey doesn't not like to be like photographed. So she's been avoiding the cameras more. But this article, which I'm going to link in the show notes, is, I think it's very redemptive. They call it something else. They call it rebuilding. And I call it redemptive that it took two female doctors, of course, to not just be their medical people, but it talks about Dr. Marcia, which is what they call her, talks about having empathy for these girls and being not just their physical doctor, but being a, you know, a listening ear when they need it as well. And what a gift that is, and what a big turnaround. And why could we not have had that 10 years ago, 20 years ago? Like, what the heck have we been
doing? Welcome to the patriarchy.
I know. We're fixing it. We're fixing it. And I'm glad we're fixing it. And, you know, I myself am trying to be part of fixing it. I work in a very patriarchal job. And so I am minute by minute, day by day, trying to fix it as well. But these two women were very inspiring to me. And I hope you'll go look at the article and see just the joy that the gymnasts have just sitting next to them playing cards and, you know, being evaluated. And I guarantee you that Larry Nassar would have never like gotten down on the ground and talked to them, you know? So, I mean, what the heck? But I was just so, my heart was warmed by that article and by those pictures and by what I've seen online. So I hope yours will be too. The other thing that I don't normally watch at all, but it's one of those Olympic sports that I just have loved, is the horse events, the jumping especially. Look, the Palace of Versailles as the setting for all of these horse events has been probably the most beautiful event location that I've ever seen. I mean, I thought that the Horse Guards Parade in England when we were in London for the Olympics was really cool. But Paris has really stepped it up.
Yeah, and they've done a good job of like using what they have instead of spending a bunch of money for new stuff that will then sit empty.
Yes, absolutely. But even like the jumps themselves were like flanked by replicas of the Notre Dame stained glass windows or, you know, a recreation of the Eiffel Tower. It's just the most beautiful setting. And I hope that you get a chance to watch some of it. I don't know if it's over or not, but I don't think so.
Have you researched the bell at the track and field events?
I have not.
So I got curious last night. I'm like, have I just never noticed that they always ring a bell? What is the deal with this? No, it is a bell that will be hung at Notre Dame when it's finished being refurbished. Isn't that so cool?
This is the stuff we live for. I love it. I love it. I love it. So the last thing that I had to talk about today was something, I was in the car a lot today and I'm behind on my podcast because I'm not in the car as much right now because it's summer, but I don't know if you listen to Armchair Expert. I'm
just listening to it.
With Marion Jones. It is fascinating to hear her side of the story. For those of you that don't remember, Marion Jones was a runner, a sprinter that was in the Sydney Olympics in 2000, who won 5 gold medals in the Sydney Olympics. And she was caught up in that. Was it a 30 for 30 that we said to watch on Netflix? Well, no, ESPN.
The Balco, whatever the bow, I can't remember.
But with the Balco drug, I think it was on Netflix, not ESPN. They did a documentary on it, and she was part of that whole thing. And you don't hear much from Marion anymore. But I'm very glad she did this episode and got to tell her side of the story. I had forgotten she went to prison.
Oh, yeah. I hadn't gotten to that part yet.
Oh.
I'm just at the part where they've just shown her the vial and said, have you ever taken it? And she's like, no.
Yeah. Well, that was her only mistake to me. She trusted the people around her. They did her dirty, but that was where she, and she will admit it. I mean, if you keep listening, she's going to say that was on me. But what they did to her after that was horrendous. The woman had just had a baby, and they sent her to federal prison. I mean, it is fascinating. Well, that's the thing is, you know, the prosecutor. Well, no, that's exactly what the judge said. The prosecutor suggested community service. It was not a crime that hurt anyone. It was not a violent crime.
Mandatory minimums thing.
No, the judge
did it.
The judge lectured her for 2 hours.
Was it old white man?
I'm sure it was. Was in the car going, I bet you're an old white man. But I don't listen to all the armchair family of podcasts. I think some of them are not my cup of tea. But this armchair expert is an expert on expert. And you will, if you care about the Olympics or sports at all, you should listen to this. It is fascinating. Absolutely fascinating. The girl passed every drug test.
But yeah, that was what she was saying. When they were showing her that stuff, she's like, well, I mean, I knew I took it, but I was also still competing and passing all my drug tests.
Passed every damn one of them. Every damn one of them. And the way she comes to her truth is beautiful. It's just a great rest of the podcast. I can't wait for you to finish it. And then I would love to get your take on it, but it's just, I cannot recommend it enough. I was mesmerized today. So definitely go listen to that. Woo! I feel like we have, do you have a visitor there with you?
I do.
Oh, I saw an ear. Or a nose, maybe. Hey, buddy. Hey, Fred Freeman.
So the...
Gosh, she's so sweet.
The vet where he was boarding, I think I mentioned she'd take him home with her sometimes on the weekends. And he's like, she said, all he just likes to sit on the sofa with big boobs, rest his head on your boobs. I'm like, well, we have a problem, Houston. But never fear, he has found the belly. So
there we go.
We're good.
There we go.
You know, the belly. Let me tell you some things to fill your belly with.
I love that. I'm so excited. Oh, he's yawning. He is over it. He's ready for us to be done.
He is ready to go hunt some cats. So the first thing, I originally saw this on the Substack that I shared a couple of weeks ago, the reading, writing, recommending, ranting Substack. Yep. And I thought this girl had just coined the term dense bean salad. But no, the woman on TikTok, her name is Violet Witchell. I guess she coined the term dense bean salad. But if you search for Violet Witchell on TikTok, you will see that she shares lots of recipes, and she likes to make a dense bean salad like at the beginning of the week that you can just have in your fridge to eat for lunch. And I love that idea. I love that practice. And so many of those recipes look really good. So I thought I would recommend the dense bean salad.
Following. You know, I do everything Mandy tells me. Done.
But yeah, so yeah, it's just good. Like, I haven't done it at all this summer. I've not been good about it. But like, to make like a, to be able to add, to have a base that you can just add your summer produce to.
Yes.
Be it beans, be it orzo, be it quinoa, be it farro, like whatever it is. And then that way you just, and it can last all week. Yeah.
I love that.
It's hard to make a salad that's going to last all week. But these sort of bridge that gap. So.
And dense beans, for all of us worried about our protein, have a lot of protein in it. So there we go.
You want to have a little extra protein with your dense bean salad. I recently made the pesto meatballs. It's a New York Times recipe. I have shared a gifted link, so everybody should be able to use this link, even if you don't subscribe to the New York Times cooking.
Oh, that's so sweet. Thank you.
It's a Grossi Pelosi recipe.
Love it.
Could not be easier. Could not be easier, y'all. So I made it, like I said, probably 2 weeks ago. I froze about half of them. They're great. when you thaw them out. So even if you wanted to go ahead and double the recipe when you make it.
Love that.
But you could have it like as a side with a dense bean salad. You could have it with pasta with more pesto. I did a pasta with fresh tomatoes. But it's just, I mean, dead easy and gives you another hit of protein.
Love it.
Highly recommend. And I didn't make my own pesto. I used grocery store pesto. Very good.
Done.
Worked as well.
I love that. I can't wait to try that because we'll talk more next week, but I'm on a quest for protein at all times. So I love that. I love that. So thank you, Mandy.
Soimly.
You're helping me out.
What are your favorites this week, Katie?
So I, this summer, have not necessarily been getting out of my bed early, whether I wake up early or not. I have been laying in the bed, which I've got to change with school starting in a few weeks. But what I have been doing this time during the Olympics is setting my alarm so I can watch the Today Show and the fun that they're having. And what I noticed, especially in the first few days, was that Savannah Guthrie has reignited my love of scarves. She would wear a silk scarf in her hair a couple different ways. One day she had a cute little summer dress on and she had one tied around her waist. It was super cute. One day she just even tied it on the belt that was on her waist already. And I thought, well, okay, I might have to up my silk scarf game. She looks so cute.
Listen, as girls who came of age in the late 90s,
yes,
there was nothing that really added a pop to your outfit like a scarf.
Right. And I've got one that's like a scrunchie that I put in my hair. But I've been looking on Amazon. When I find some that I really like, I'll link them, I'm sure. But like, I was so thankful that Savannah did that, because now I'm sure all of hers were like Hermes scarves or fancy Louis Vuitton or whatever they've got sponsored over there. But she just looked precious with them. And I thought, well, that reminds me of the 90s. But right. I loved it. Yeah, bring it back.
Nothing like a black pantsuit with, you know, a shirt you got from Harold's. And then you add the scarf for a little pop to change it up. Love I will it. Tell you, Elizabeth sent me a scarf back during COVID when we first started masking. I posted something about trying to mask this big old head of mine. So Elizabeth sent me a really cute scarf from Billy Reed, the guy in Alabama that makes such wonderful things. So you might look there, see if you can find a scarf.
I'm done. Done. So the second thing I've got is that, you know, I've been reading a lot of books this summer, and I had never heard of this author. I have looked at her other books and they don't look interesting to me, but this book has made me throw my head back laughing at least once a chapter. And it's called Lula Dean's Little Library of Banned Books.
I think Carla maybe mentioned this one. Somebody I know mentioned this in life.
If you are not a progressive human, you do not need to read this book. You will be offended at every turn. But Mandy, when I tell you this book is for you, this book is for you. And I'm gonna nag you to death till you read it, because it is the best. It's set in a fictional Georgia town called Troy, Georgia. They talk about Macon.
Already have it on my Libby.
Good. Well,
in my queue.
You're gonna text me at least four or five times. What happens is Lula Dean is a pain in the ass in this little town, this little bee town, and she wants to ban all the inappropriate books. And then another person from the town decides to take all the jacket covers off of the acceptable books in Lula Dean's little library that she puts in her front yard and put the dirty books in the dust jacket. So people think they're getting, like, you know, the Southern Living cake book, and they really get the Diary of Anne Frank. I mean, it is just... And how that changes how this town thinks and makes them more open and affirming. the chapter where the little boy finds hello, God, it's me, Margaret, is probably one of the funniest things I have. I've cried laughing. I cannot tell you enough that this book is fantastic.
Sold.
Fantastic.
I'm really flattered in your description of it that you said it is for me.
It is for you. It is for you. It is like the bitter Southerner wrote a book, a novel, and they named it the Lula Dean Little Library of Banned Books. It is so good.
LaWanda.
That's so good. LaWanda, right? So good. So good. So good. So the next thing is I bought something on Amazon. It was on the Prime Day sales and it showed up. I bought it because it was on sale. And I've never really been a set girl. I don't know why.
Not since junior high when I was very much a set girl. And they right. made shorts out of two t-shirts.
Exactly.
So you could buy three t-shirts and have yourself an outfit. And then you could tie a scarf around your waist and wear it with your kids. That had the special ribbon as yes. the shoelaces, and you're put on your pop swatch and your Liz Claiborne perfume, hey. And couldn't nobody touch it for nothing while you sang Debbie Gibson.
There we go. See, that's why I haven't bought a set in about 20 years, because I thought that that's what sets were.
20 years, Katie?
Well, 30, 40-ish. Anyway, so this set, though, I wore it. I got more compliments on it than I have gotten on clothes in a very long time. And it's comfortable. Of course, you can break the set up and wear with different. I got the Kelly green, and then everybody liked it so much, I went back and got the navy with white piping. And it's comfortable. It's cute. And I'm going to wear the hell out of it at school.
Say no more. It says it's a sweat set.
It is not. Okay, so it is kind of sweat shirt-ish. But it doesn't have like banded sleeves. Like the bottoms of the pants are not banded.
Is it thick? Is it more of a fall?
Yeah, it is a little bit thicker. That was the only thing, is I got a little bit hot, but you know, at school, I don't know, if you work in an office that's really cold, this would be perfect for the summer, because it's a little bit thicker material and it's almost quilted-y. It's not thick quilt, but like just the pattern on it. It's just so cute. So anyway, I got a set. I feel like I'm a seventh grader.
I tried to look at it, but I can't get the link to work.
Uh-oh. Well, I'll make sure I get a better one.
It's my...
Oh, okay. Well, we'll make sure it works before we put it in there. We'll double check.
They're showing again the end to the men's 1500. If y'all have not seen that, look it up.
Was the best race.
Lord have mercy.
Drama
Sorry.
City. Anyway. No. Drama City. One of those stories where two dudes got into it and they... You know, one of them, I mean, just watch it and you'll see at the end what we mean. The other, and I don't know what you're watching, because I still have beach volleyball. We're playing Qatar.
It's the, I still haven't figured out how to get what NBC is showing, except prime time. So gotcha. It's what USA is showing.
Gotcha. So the last thing I have on my list is a new band that I have stumbled upon in the weirdest of ways, but I've really fallen in love with them. So I know, you know, look, Bert Kreischer is probably not the best example. I don't know. He's got daughters. He loves his daughters. He's a good girl dad, but he's a little crazy. But he was listening to this band play the song with his wife, and he was crying his eyes out. And the band is called the Red Clay Strays, and they're very much in the Americana vein that we like so much. The album is called Moment of Truth, and the song that they were playing that made Bert Kreischer cry is called Wondering Why, and it's about how this guy wonders that he's like this red dirt farmer, country hick, and he's landed this beautiful pearl wearing girl and, you know, wonders why she chose him. And if it makes Bert Kreischer cry, then you know it's going to make me cry. And so, anyway, the whole album's great. So, the Red Clay Strays is a new band that I have really enjoyed.
I will check them out.
Check them out. Well, those are my favorites.
Thanks, Katie. That's great.
You are very welcome. I'm so excited for y'all to try some of that stuff. And I can't wait to try those meatballs.
What's going on with you this week?
So this week, my little church is just falling apart at the seams. You know, for a while we had everybody having shoulder surgeries and we were keeping the orthopedic shoulder men in business. Well, now it's the ankles and the feet and the hips. So lots of visits. And just savoring the last few weeks of summer before I go back to school. I go back on the
face.
I know, right? I was like,
savoring summer. I made an ugly face.
Which means me sitting here watching more Olympics and the Little League World Series, which is also right around the corner, which I'm sure we'll talk about next week. But yeah, that's all I'm doing is just watching Olympics and visiting people in the hospital.
Woohoo!
Oh, I do quote. So last week I talked about Ilona Meyer in my sermon. If you want to go listen to my podcast is Grits and the Gospel. Let me tell you, this week I'm a little unhinged and I quote the Spice Girls.
Okay.
I don't often tout my other podcasts here, but it's a stretch, but it works.
Okay. I like it. Listen. Yeah.
It's a Spice Girls kind of week.
Whatever works.
There we go.
Thanks, friends.
Everybody, how about you? Well, tell us what you're doing.
Nothing.
Playing with Freddie Freeman, walking. Oh, there he is again. Did you hear your name, Freddie Freeman?
He saw a cat one time under a car, so now he has to take every car.
Oh.
A cat, and he wants to go out 18,000 times a day to hunt cats.
Okay.
1,000 degrees outside, so.
Yeah.
He did embarrass me spectacularly. My computer is about to die, so I'll tell this quickly. There is a woman, an attorney in town who I've been, like, trying to have lunch with, whatever. Yeah. She rents the green space with her husband and they have started a farmer's market. And so we were out there Sunday. I took him out because he has to poop. He's had diarrhea since he got here. We're working on it.
Awesome.
I thought he had to poop. And so we went out and I forgot there was a farmer's market going on in the green space where he poops. When I tell y'all that the dog who is currently chewing up a folder.
Oh, great. Fred Freeman, stop that.
When I tell y'all he lost 15 pounds, it was a five bagger. All in front of this woman who I've been trying to develop a professional relationship with. Spectacular. It was 1,000 degrees. I didn't have a bra on. I had my neck fan on. I had my sun hat on. And the dog was just pooping everywhere.
So, I love it. Good for you, Fred Freeman.
Doing more of that. We're just going to be doing more of that.
Love it. We all have a good week. And we will see you next week and wrap up the Olympics and move on to Little League and baseball and football. Lots coming up.